Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com. Get access to my blogs, interesting information about eyes, about different things that are going on around the world, and my thoughts about them. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. We're also on Twitter. You can follow me personally, Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R. Once you go to twitter.com, check out Twitter. A lot of interesting people tweeting things there. During the next hour here on this show, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree, Dr. Nancy Lundblad, and Dr. William Perryman. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so sometimes I'll have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor this program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I wanted to take a minute to talk a little bit about holiday gift-giving safety, eye safety, when it comes to holiday gifts and gift-giving. You didn't think there was eye safety in holiday gifts, did you? But little did you know that especially when it comes to our keiki, we need to be careful from an eye standpoint about what to make sure that we give them things that will keep them safe during the holidays. So just a few tips about holiday gifts. Okay, so you need to remember that not every child can play with every toy. Of course, there's the concern that most people are aware of, particularly people who've had young children at one time or have young children or are close to families who have young children, know that in children under the age of 3, they're not supposed to get toys or objects that have small pieces that they could potentially put in their mouth and possibly choke on, because small children don't have real strong gag reflex to keep them from choking and trying to swallow or choke on objects that they can put in their mouth. So things that can go in their mouth are a no-no for children under age 3 or so, especially under age 2. Because kids like to put things in their mouths. That's one of the ways that they figure out what's going on in the world around them, putting things in their mouths. But most people know about that. But what people don't pay as much attention to is the safety related to the eyes. And, of course, there are the obvious things like BB guns and pellet guns and guns that shoot projectiles of various types. Those toys, of course, should be reserved for the older children, and those, of course, responsible enough to be able to take the appropriate precautions when they play with them. And appropriate precautions means wearing eye protection, not shooting directly at your friend, particularly at their head or face. And particularly things like BB guns can cause very severe injuries to the eyes, because a BB is not fast moving enough to cause a deeply penetrating wound, but it is powerful enough to go and lodge in a delicate structure like the eye, where it can cause the copper from the BB can cause all kinds of trouble. So people lose their eyes from BB gun injuries all the time. So that's definitely a no-no, is BB guns, pellet guns, other things that can shoot projectiles, unless the child is old enough to be able to take care of it and to wear the appropriate eye protection and to understand the importance of taking care. But for what about younger kids? What about toys for younger children? Well, let's see. Here's a few suggestions, because one of the things that happens is as you get older, you develop more hand-eye coordination. You also develop a little more sense, a little more understanding of what kind of harm you can come to. And toys with sharp objects, sharp corners, for example, are not appropriate for very young children, because those very young children may very well put the thing close to their face and poke themselves in the eye, which is not necessarily a good thing. So what are some age-appropriate toys? Well, the one guideline is to go to the toy store and look at the age guidelines on the actual toy itself. In the packaging of most toys, there is a guideline that says this particular toy is appropriate for children ages X to Y. So it may be appropriate ages 1 to 3 or 3 to 6 or 6 to 8 or whatever it is. And this age guideline helps to allow you to choose the right toy for the child that you're buying for. Now, don't also fall into the habit of some people sort of fall into the trap where they say, gee, the child that I'm buying for is really an advanced child, really a smart child, so I'm going to buy a gift that's several years ahead of their age. Well, those age guidelines are there not only because of the mental prowess needed for the children to take advantage of the toys, but also because of the physical coordination skills and the potential risks of toys that are not designed for younger children. So be careful not to fall into that trap and get a toy that is appropriate for an older child, because you think that will make the parents think that you have a high impression of their child, that instead of, even though they're only 8 years old, that you want to get them a toy for a 12-year-old because you think, oh, this is a very responsible child or whatever it is. So let the age guidelines be your guide. So here are a few suggestions for toys which might be helpful in for those of you who are looking to buy certain types of gifts for certain age kids. So if you have someone who's less than 1 year old, then the good types of things to get for them are brightly colored mobiles, rattles, balls, large balls, stuffed animals, activity gyms, blocks, large blocks that don't have sharp edges, of course. For one-year-olds, stuffed animals, blocks, puzzles, finger paints, modeling clays, stacking and nesting toys or musical toys are good suggestions. For two-year-olds, things like stuffed animals, blocks, puzzles, paints, finger paints, modeling clay, musical toys, dress-up clothes, child-size household items like a broom or a lawnmower that's designed for children so that they can emulate their parents doing the chores around the house, vacuum cleaners, things like that. Sandbox, kiddie pool, swing, backyard gym, and climbing toys, and toy typewriter and cash register, things like that for two-year-olds. For 3 to 6-year-olds, you can start moving into things like crayons and markers and toy computers or computer games for age-appropriate. Board games, roller skates, cameras, other finger paints, modeling clays. As you get older, 7 to 12-year-olds, more appropriate to look at things that might help them develop their minds, things like science items, microscopes, telescopes, chemistry sets, books, bicycles, musical instruments, tape or MP3 player, skateboard, jump ropes, electric trains, sports equipment, video games, computer games, board games. So try to make the gifts age appropriate for safety. Some other things about the holiday season, real quick. You want to be careful when you're getting that Christmas tree into the house and trimming the tree. Be careful not to poke yourself in the eye with any of the branches. Appropriate exercise appropriate cautions and precautions. Wear some safety glasses when you're taking the tree around because those branches tend to snap back sometimes and hit you when you take off the wrapping off the Christmas tree or when you're crawling underneath to fix the stand. You can poke yourself. So put on a pair of safety glasses when you're doing that. If you get sap in your hands from handling the tree, try not to rub your eyes because that sap can be an irritant to the surface of the eye. Some of the various materials that we use in trimming the tree can, of course, be dangerous, particularly small children. Some of the glass balls that hang from the trees, if they break, the sharp objects can, of course, be dangerous to children, just like any broken glass. And if you're using any of the spray flocking, which is that white stuff that makes it look like you're in a white Christmas zone instead of in a tropical Christmas zone, as we are here in Hawaii, then you may want to exercise caution because that stuff can be quite toxic and irritating if it gets in the eyes. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to do some eye news and, of course, get ready to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. And here we are in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We are talking about eyes, of course. That's what we do every week on the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you want to hear what we have to say or what we've said or hear something again, the Hawaiian Eye Show is also available online at our website, usually a week behind. You can catch the show from 2 weeks ago. Tomorrow you'll be able to catch the show from last week. A week from tomorrow you should be able to catch the show from this week. So you can see the shows online at our website. Just go to the website. There's a big button there that says Radio Show. Just click on that button. It'll show you how to listen to the radio show. Or if you want to subscribe to a podcast of the radio show so that you get the episodes as we upload them a week later than the show, then you can go ahead and do that. The reason we do it a week later is because the show airs more than once during the week. And so we want to make sure that the show has aired all the time it's going to air over the radio live before we make it available online. So let's see, we've got some news stories here. Anyway, I forgot to just mention the place to go for those things, for the podcast, for the radio show, is our website, HawaiianEye.com. Just www.HawaiianEye.com. You can remember that, Hawaiian Eye, like the name of the eye show, Hawaiian Eye Show, and .com. So we have a news story here, a couple of news stories, but before we go to the news, we're going to talk to a caller. We've got Tina standing by in Kauai. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My daughter has like a bump on her eyelid, and it's just getting bigger and larger. She seems to think it's an irritation from wearing makeup or something.
Well, it could be. It's probably what's called a sty, or some people here in Hawaii call it a star eye. In medical terminology, that's called a hordeolum. It's basically a clogged gland in the eyelid, and usually it is. It's quite common in children, but it can occur in adults as well. And so somehow the gland along the base of the eyelashes or the eyelids gets blocked. The oil from inside that gland remains inside the lid, where it becomes an irritant to the skin or to the inner part of the skin there, and it causes a kind of a small abscess where there's an inflammatory reaction there. The way to treat it, basically, as long as it's just localized, as long as it's just red right there where the lump is on the lower lid, mm-hmm. is to use warm compresses. You can use them 2 or 3 times a day. And generally within a few days, it'll start to shrink down. If the redness, though, is spreading or the eye is so swollen that it's it's hard for her to see, or there are other changes that concern you, it's getting bigger instead of getting better with the treatment, then definitely seek the attention of a specialist, or at least the emergency room if you need to. But during the week, an eye specialist can take a look at it and make sure that it's not something else going on there. But sounds like it's probably just a sty, and it will get better by itself. Now, the thing that you should know is that kids who get styes tend to get them recurrently. I don't know if it's sort of like acne in a sense, because a gland gets clogged. And so not necessarily kids who also get acne, but kids in that age range, in the teenage years, tend to get these styes more frequently. Young kids can get them too, but makeup probably could contribute. So she should probably be cleaning her lids and lashes well on a daily basis to help reduce the chance of new ones forming.
She uses a lot of those false eyelashes.
Yeah, that glue and stuff could probably get in there and clog the glands. So just, when she's done at the end of the day, probably a good thing to do is take a washcloth soaked in warm water, a warm compress, hold it against the lids for a minute or two, and then use the washcloth, damp washcloth, to clean the eyelids, just sort of back and forth 6 or 8 times to clean the base of the lashes and the eyelids, and that way you'll reduce the chance of clogging those glands there.
And the science name for it was?
Hordeolum, Hordeolum, Hordeolum. Hordeolum. So it's and it becomes what's called a chalazion. If it stays there for a while, a little scar tissue can form. So it's actually a very common problem in both adults and in children, and not dangerous as long as it doesn't become infected, which they rarely do. So just watch for those signs of infection, which are spreading redness or increased swelling and so forth.
Great. Well, okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Hopefully that gets better quick.
Okay.
Aloha.
Thank you.
So styes affect adults as well. And generally, people are quite concerned when they see this big swelling on the eyelid. It can affect the upper lid or the lower lid. And so you want to make sure you know that it's not something else. A lot of primary care doctors, a lot of family practice doctors and emergency room doctors aren't always quite sure what to make of a stye. And sometimes they'll recommend antibiotics to treat it. We don't usually recommend antibiotics as eye specialists because we know that these styes are generally not infectious. It's usually not an infection causing the problem. It's usually an inflammatory condition. The difference between infection and inflammation is that infection is caused by an outside mediator, like a bacteria or a virus or a chlamydia or some other mycobacteria. There's a number of different pathogens, a number of different things that can cause infections, and the body's reaction to that bacteria or virus or whatever it is what's causing the swelling and redness and the trouble you're having. In this case, it's just inflammation, which can also cause swelling and redness and a tenderness, painfulness of the area, but the inflammation is just a localized response to something that's not an organism that causes the infection. So in this case, the reaction is to the clogged gland and the fact that there's a oil inside the lid, which is becoming rancid and causing irritation to the inner part of the eyelid. Very similar to the process that happens when you get a nice pimple on your face, particularly as a teenager. Those of us who are not in that phase probably well remember that phase where we would develop pimples on a regular basis, and those pimples are due to the clogging of the glands in the oil glands in the skin. And so the same thing can happen along the eyelids. You can get clogged glands and get a stye that way. So usually, as I said, though, not dangerous. Let's talk about some news stories. There's a story here about a study that proposes benchmarks for cataract surgeons. So as a cataract surgeon, of course, this story interests me. I do quite a bit of cataract surgery. And one of the things that's sort of interesting about the medical field in general, and cataract surgery in particular, I suppose, is that there's no real objective way of measuring how successful any given cataract surgeon is in accomplishing what we're trying to do with cataract surgery, which is generally to improve the vision. And so obviously, like in any other field. There are people who are better at what they do and people who aren't as good at what they do. And so there's no real process for weeding out the people who aren't as skilled and favoring the people who are more skilled in this particular procedure, in the cataract procedure. So this study was done to see whether some kind of a benchmark, some kind of an evaluation of a cataract surgeon may be helpful. And so to summarize what I see here, it says this prospective multi-center cohort trial evaluated a systematic approach to determine valid benchmarks for cataract surgery. Subjects were 1,685 patients with uncomplicated age-related cataracts who underwent phacoemulsification cataract surgery in one eye. Two potential outcome indicators were evaluated at 1 and 3 months after surgery: a maximum absolute deviation from target refraction, which was achieved in 80% of cases, and postoperative best corrected visual acuity of more than a certain level, which was reached in 87% of cases. The authors conclude that the findings don't resolve how valid benchmarks for the outcome indicators should be derived, but it adds to the discussion. So, kind of an inconclusive study. But the concept is a good one, to be able to find a way to effectively measure outcomes in people, in surgeons, technicians. I mean, basically, surgeons are accomplishing a technical skill. And so knowing how good they are or how successful they are in achieving that skill is probably useful. Now, there are sort of secondary ways that people sort of figure out whether someone's a good surgeon or not. And you can ask the surgeon about their results, and hopefully they'll be honest with you and tell you what the real numbers are in terms of how successful their procedures are. For example, if you asked us what our latest studies suggested as far as success of cataract surgery, we'd say that it shows that over 98% of people who have cataract surgery in our center end up with improved vision after the surgery. And there are other measures that you can look at, but that's a good one to start with. And we monitor our own results, so we know, you know, how we're doing in relation to national averages and so forth. So we do well in our cataract surgery, but Dr. Rhee and I do a lot of cataract surgery, so we are quite accomplished and skilled. So another way you can look at it is people who do more tend to be a little bit better because they have more experience, they have more practice, as it were, in doing the procedure. So you want to, if you choose a surgeon, you want to choose a surgeon who has some experience and who does more than just a couple of cases a month. So probably 4 or 5 a week is a good number for keeping your skills in, or more, of course. A lot of surgeons do more surgery than that for cataracts. For other types of surgery, which are not as common, because cataract surgeries are quite common, so people have the opportunity to do more of them. Other types of surgeries, you may not do as many and may still be quite good and experienced with the skills associated with that surgery. So other types of surgeries like corneal transplants and glaucoma surgeries, you wouldn't expect the doctor to do as many of them. A few, 10 or so a year might be a good number for some of these types of procedures to make sure that they're keeping their skills current, you know, about one every month or two. The other way to know if your surgeon has good skills or not is when you go in the office. Talk to other people in the office about their experiences, because generally, especially in a busy office, you'll see people in all stages of their preparation. So, for example, in our office, if you would come in on any given day, you'd find people who were being, one, evaluated for cataracts, two, people who had their cataracts already taken care of, and people, three, who had their cataracts taken care of years and years ago. And so based on meeting and talking to some of those people, you might get some insights into what type of experience they had at the particular doctor's office. Of course, if they had a really terrible experience, they might not come back, so that may skew the results a little bit, but they often can give you an assessment of what kind of experience they had with their procedure if you just talk to people around you in the office. Of course, that's not always, I don't know how taboo that is. I don't know if people just strike up conversations in doctor's offices or not. Since I'm usually at the other side of the office, I don't get to sit in the waiting room too often. Another way to know if your doctor is skilled is by, you know, probably the busier surgeons, the ones who do more, are probably better because they have good results, and the people who they have good results with go out and tell other people, and those people come in, and so you end up with sort of a good surgeon being a fairly busy surgeon because they are getting good reports out there in the community. All right, let's take a short break. When we get back, it'll be time to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 71 degrees and mostly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. For the first time, Newt Gingrich is going into a Republican presidential debate as the frontrunner. Standing next to him tonight will be Mitt Romney, whose campaign has launched an all-out offensive against Gingrich's record and leadership style. The debate in Iowa is expected to focus on the federal budget deficit. There's a new government in Yemen today, a national unity government with an almost equal number of loyalists and opposition ministers has been sworn into office. The deal allows President Ali Abdul Saleh to step down after 33 years in power in exchange for immunity from prosecution. The Honolulu Board of Water Supply says Leeward Coast residents did a great job of conserving water while a 24-inch main leak was being repaired. And now you can return to normal water use. Residents from Honokai, Hale to Makaha had been asked to limit water use for just cooking, drinking, and personal hygiene, while the reservoir, which supplies 60% of water to the Leeward Coast, was recovering. For about 45 minutes this morning, the moon turned a coppery red as the Earth passed between the moon and the sun. The total lunar eclipse was visible over Hawaii from about 4:10 until 4:55 a.m. The reddish hue is caused by the Earth's shadow blocking most of the sun's light. The next total lunar eclipse visible in Hawaii will happen on April 15th, 2014. All eastbound lanes of Ala Moana Boulevard are closed between Pi'ikoi Street and Atkinson Drive while work to repair an 8-inch water main continues there. There's a high surf advisory for north and west shores today. Mostly sunny, isolated showers, a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, a low near 68. Tomorrow, partly sunny, currently in Honolulu, 71.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and this, of course, is the time when we normally take your calls. So if you want to give us a call, you can reach us here at the studio. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the Neighbor Islands, there is a toll-free number that you can call as well. It's 888-565-8383. Write that down, 888-565-8383. I wonder if anyone is listening to us on the mainland. You can do that now, you know, with that iHeartRadio app. So when I'm traveling, I always listen to myself. I go to the iHeartRadio app and listen to myself while I'm on the mainland or abroad. Of course, I'm not listening to myself live then, am I? I guess I'm, in that case, I'm listening to a rebroadcast program. Of course, We like to come to you live on Saturday mornings, and so that's what we generally do. And that's also so that we can take your calls. So give us a call, 521-8383, if you have a question for the doctor. We have an article here about a viral infection called herpes zoster ophthalmicus. The herpes zoster virus is the virus that causes shingles. It also causes chickenpox. It's not the virus that causes herpes cold sores or herpes infections that's a sexually transmitted disease. The herpes zoster also causes an eye condition known as herpes zoster ophthalmicus when it affects the surface of the eye. And because herpes zoster or shingles is more common in older people, this study looks at whether this herpes zoster virus affects patients more commonly over age 60. So the headline here says, herpes zoster ophthalmicus affects patients both under and over the age of 60 in similar numbers. It says this retrospective review compared the demographics, treatments, and outcomes of herpes zoster ophthalmicus in two age groups, less than 60 years old and greater than or equal to 60 years old, and found that while younger patients experience more episodes of delayed pseudodendritiform keratitis and flares of inflammation, okay, ways that the problem expresses itself, and older patients experienced more problems with postherpetic neuralgia, which is pain around the eye most likely following the infection, neurotrophic keratopathy, and secondary infectious keratitis, so other types of infections associated with it. The virus infected individuals aged younger and older than age 60 years in similar numbers, the most common decade of onset being between age 50 and 59. The authors advocate expanding current vaccination guidelines to include immunocompetent patients in the younger age range, not just those over age 60. Okay, so this is an excellent article because it looks at something that has currently become a recommendation for adults over age 60, and that is having a vaccination for this herpes zoster virus. So like many types of viruses, there has been a vaccine developed to help to reduce the chance that you would develop an infection with the herpes zoster virus. So chickenpox in kids is often protective. Kids, people who have chickenpox in kids as kids become protected from this virus. But oftentimes, as we get older, we become susceptible to it as well because our immune system changes, and the way we've developed immunity to it through the infection with chickenpox does not seem to protect against the infection with the shingles form of this condition, which is what's associated with the eye problems. So when it occurs in the eye, it can cause a number of different types of problems, from very mild to quite severe. And so it's generally quite uncomfortable or unpleasant to go through it. So having a vaccine to prevent that and shingles in general may be a valid thing that people want to do. So basically, based on this article, it's saying that people under age 60, which is, remember, the vaccine was recommended for people age 60 and older. For people between age 50 and 60, this is still a very common problem, almost as common as it is in those over 60. So that suggests that perhaps the vaccine should be considered for people in a younger age group as well. So to help reduce the chance that they would develop a problem down the road in addition. So an interesting article and some valid concerns raised there. I do have an announcement here that talks about some contact lenses. Those of you who are contact lens wearers out there, if you wear a Cooper Vision Aviara Aquaform Sphere Soft Contact Lens, that's the Aviara Aquaform Sphere Soft Lenses, then be aware that that lens, some of those lenses have been recalled. So the recall information, it's made by a company called Cooper Vision, and the recall information is on Cooper Vision's website, which is www.coopervision.com/international-recall. We'll post that information on Twitter later. The international recall of these contact lenses is because there seems to be some irritation associated with wearing them and some soreness, pain, and even damage or injury to the eyes with the use of these contact lenses. And the problem appears to be, according to this article, the level of silicone oil left on the lenses during the manufacturing process. So there's specific lot numbers that have been recalled. There's a fairly large number of them. So if you wear these Avira Aquaform Sphere contact lenses, then you should definitely check to make sure that they're that they haven't been recalled by the company, so that you don't develop a problem. And of course, if you do put contact lenses in your eyes and they seem to be causing trouble, whether it's irritation of the eyes, redness, soreness, uncomfortable feeling, don't let vanity overcome your common sense, and go ahead and take out the contacts if it's not quite right. Because the danger with contact lenses is that if they start to cause a problem and then they stay in the eye and stay in the eye, then people tend to get much worse problems. And so it's often difficult for a contact lens wearer to take off their contacts because they say, well, I can't see, I can't drive home if I take off my contacts. And so say, well, let me just leave them in until I get home, but let me finish this work first, and let me do this first, and let me finish. And then, you know, several hours later, their eyes are killing them, and they finally get home, they take out the contacts. By then, they have a more serious problem. So contact lenses can cause problems in the eyes, whether or not they're recalled contact lenses. And so you want to treat them with the appropriate respect. Have your backup glasses with you. Keep them in the car if you need them, so that in case you ever had to drive without your contacts, you have your backup glasses ready, or keep them in your bag or somewhere that you can access them if you do have a problem with your contact lenses. So the Cooper Vision Avira Aquaform Sphere Soft Contact Lenses, and if you want to find out if your particular lot number has been recalled, go to the Cooper Vision website, which is www.coopervision.com, and then you can type in /international-recall. Okay, and again, we'll post that information on Twitter a little bit later this morning, so that you can check that out if you need to. So that's something that we always try to do, is bring the latest information to you related to eye care. I ran into an ophthalmologist colleague of mine over the weekend, and I was quite flattered that he said, you know, I listen to your radio show on Saturday mornings because I like to hear some of the news stories that you bring up and some of the things that are new in the field. So even people who are in the field, I guess, still get something out of the show. So that's great. Thank you for that compliment. The next study, let's see, we have a study here about a new corneal procedure. This procedure is called DSEK, which we in the trade abbreviate DSEK. And DSEK is a new corneal procedure to replace just a portion of the cornea in people who need corneal transplants for various reasons. And so if people have had a complete corneal transplant and their corneal transplant starts to fail, this particular study has looked at whether this partial corneal transplantation may be useful in someone who's already previously had a complete corneal transplantation. So let's talk a little bit about corneal transplants before we get into the meat of what this article is about. So when you have a cloudy area or an opacity of the cornea, the cornea allows light to enter your eye, and it's like a clear window. So when the cornea is opaque or cloudy, the light can't enter the eye as effectively, and so you end up with blocked vision or blurred vision because of the scarring or blockage of the light entering your eye. And so if you have a severe case of scarring, then sometimes having a getting a new cornea or a cornea transplant is the only way to improve the vision. So if there's scarring or there's the cornea fails due to age or to damage related to surgery, sometimes that replacing the whole cornea is the only way to go. But in recent years, there has been increasing experience in the ophthalmic field with partial corneal transplants, transplanting just the front part of the cornea or just the back part of the cornea. And by doing this, we can sort of isolate the part of the tissue that is damaged and just transplant that portion of it, and that creates a few advantages. One advantage is that it's a shorter procedure with a shorter recovery time. Another advantage is that you can use one cornea, one donor cornea, for multiple multiple corneal transplants. And so this is different, so you can use the front of the cornea on one person and the back of the cornea on someone else, for example, and so get two transplants out of one donor. And that's always an advantage because donors are not that common, right? It's not that easy to find donated organs. There's usually a waiting list. So when we talk about the selective corneal transplant or the DSEC procedure, we're talking about transplanting the inner part of the cornea, what's called the endothelial portion of the cornea. And this is the part of the cornea that often fails when the cornea becomes cloudy due to injury from surgery or age-related changes that cause damage to the inner part of the cornea. So what they say in this article is they compared people who had already had corneal transplants and they treated them with this partial corneal transplant when their initial transplant had failed. It says here, this retrospective study evaluated DSEC outcomes in 60 patients who failed penetrating keratoplasty, which is a full corneal transplant. Patients experienced fairly rapid visual recovery and favorable graft survival outcomes. The 1, 2, 3, and 4-year graft survival rates of 98%, 90%, 81%, and 74% respectively exceeded reported graft survival rates for conventional penetrating keratoplasty. Prior glaucoma surgery with a glaucoma shunt was the only significant risk factor for graft failure. So basically, the concept was that by doing these partial corneal transplants, they got those corneal grafts to survive as long or longer as they would have if they had done a whole new transplant, which is a much more involved procedure with a longer recovery time. Okay. Well, we have open phone lines. Give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call, and we'll be right back to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
And you're listening to this doctor, Dr. Christopher Tortora, and we're here talking about eyes and about eye care. We've talked about a little bit about cataracts and cataract surgeons. We've talked about corneal transplants. We just looked at a couple of news articles. Now it's time to talk about what you'd like to talk about. So go ahead and give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number there, 888-565-8383. If you want to tweet us a question, you can find me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A with no spaces. And you can also find us on Facebook with some of these articles that we talk about are posted there. And that's facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Facebook.com is Hawaiian Eye Center. Okay, we also have the HawaiianEye.com, which is our website, and right there you can find radio shows, a podcast to the radio show, and you can find some other interesting tidbits of information. We like to get information out there. That's one of the things we do, and that's why we do this radio program on a weekly basis, to try to get information out there about eyes and about eye safety. We talked a little bit earlier about some of the holiday safety things that you should keep in mind in when doing holiday shopping and holiday decorating. I also, at that point, did not mention that some of the Christmas plants that we keep around the house can also, the sap from these plants can be toxic or irritating to the eyes. For example, the poinsettia plant, which many people bring into their houses at Christmas time, is the sap from the poinsettia plant is quite toxic or irritating to the eyes. So if you get that sap on your hand and then rub your eyes, you may be quite uncomfortable for a couple of days. So that's something to avoid. Wash your hands frequently after handling Christmas ornaments, particularly after working in the yard, because certain plants that are found in the yards here in Hawaii are quite toxic and irritating to the eye. Particularly, you know, in effect, and actually the crown flower tree, we haven't talked about this for a while, but the crown flower tree is actually, the sap from the crown flower tree is very toxic to the eye. And we've had people who have serious loss of vision and trouble with their vision for years, months anyway, following exposure to the crown flower sap. And you don't usually get it just from stringing Lays, because the flowers themselves don't usually have the sap. But I have talked to people who are just picking flowers and stringing Lays, who then rub their eyes and get this type of crown flower injury. So be very careful with that. Of course, if you're wearing a crown flower Lay, there's relatively low risk. But again, don't be handling the Lay and then rubbing your eyes, just in case. The most common types of injuries we see are for people who are working out in the garden and they're cutting back a tree. You know, here in the tropics, things tend to grow fairly fast, particularly if you live in a rainy environment or if it's been raining a lot recently. And you go into the yard and you say, oh, this thing is growing too big. And you go and you hack away at it to try to clean it and tidy things up. And you get this sap on your hands or on your gloves, and then sweat runs in your eye and you rub your eye. And then the sap is in your eye. And the next thing you know, you're got walking around with a painful eye and blurry vision, and you go, oh my gosh, what happened? And you come into the office and I look at your eye, and having seen this a number of times, I say, have you been working in the yard again? And you say, oh my gosh, yes. And I say, okay, well, you obviously got some sap from one of these toxic plants in your eyes. So crown flowers, pencil trees, bottle brush trees, plumeria, some of these white sap trees contain things that can be quite toxic to the surface of the eye, but probably crown flower is the worst. So just be aware if you have one of those in your yard. We did get some questions during the week, this past week, about diabetes in the eye. We actually had quite a few people come in for diabetic eye screenings, and the question came up more than once of why is my doctor sending me for a screening examination of my eyes? Why, as a diabetic, do I need to have my eyes tested or screened on a regular basis? Why can't my family practice doctor do it, or my regular doctor, my diabetic doctor, my endocrinologist? And the answer is that looking inside the eye, diagnosing and treating diabetic eye disease is something that is relatively subtle, and it does require the attention of an ophthalmologist. And in some cases, when the condition is advanced, it actually requires a subspecialist within the field of ophthalmology called a retinologist or a retina specialist. The retina is the seeing tissue in the back of the eye that allows us to see light. It's a unique tissue in the body because it's a thin, fine, delicate nerve tissue composed of nerves that are sensitive to light. And it's really the only place in the body that such a tissue exists, very specialized tissue, where this retina tissue allows us to perceive images by converting light impulses, light signals that hit the back of the eye, converting these light signals into electrical impulses that go back to our brain and are interpreted by the brain as sight, as objects, as people's faces, as the words on a page. And so the sensitive retina tissue is also quite metabolically active, as we say in medicine. That means that it's doing a lot of work and it needs energy to do that work. How do tissues in our body get energy? Well, energy is supplied by blood flow. So blood brings oxygen and other nutrients that are necessary to keep the tissue working, to keep the cells doing what they're doing. And so there are a lot of blood vessels in the retina because that retina is a oxygen or a nutrient-hungry tissue because it's constantly working. You know, our eyes are sort of working full-time, 24-7, even when we're dreaming, right? Anyway, at least during the day, the eyes and the retina are working. And so you need that blood supply to the retina. So there are a lot of blood vessels in the retina. Now, the problem is that diabetes affects blood vessels of just the type of blood vessels that happen to exist in the retina. Also, these are the same type of blood vessels that exist in the kidneys and in the extremities, in the hands and the feet. And so these are all areas that diabetics are subject to trouble with because diabetes affects these blood vessels and causes them to become abnormal. The blood vessels can become leaky, so proteins or blood itself can leach out of the blood vessel and into the surrounding tissue. In the case of the retina, this causes trouble because blood is not see-through. You can't see through blood. So if there's blood leaching into the retinal tissue, that's going to affect your vision and make it hard to see. If these blood vessels break, then bleeding occurs. And this can occur in the kidneys or in the extremities or in the eye. And blood in the eye, of course, is not a good thing because, as I said, blood is more like pea soup or tomato soup than it is like water. So you can't really see through blood when it fills the inside of the eye. So if there's bleeding in the eye, that makes your vision bad. And that blood, as it reabsorbs, as the body reabsorbs it, can cause trouble too. Oftentimes the blood inside the eye, as it reabsorbs, the clotting of the blood causes damage to the tissue around it. And so this is something that's important to remember and to treat the bleeding in the eye if the blood stays in there for any length of time or if it starts to cause damage to the structures inside the eye. So if you have diabetes, get your eyes checked every year. It's very important. If you know someone who has diabetes, make sure they're getting their eyes checked by an ophthalmologist, a medical eye doctor specializing in the eyes, to make sure that they're getting the best possible evaluation and ultimately treatment, if necessary, of diabetic conditions affecting the eyes. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Andrea for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something, you can always listen again next week, or you can listen to our podcasts or listen to our radio show online. Just go to our website, www.hawaiianeye.com, for our recent shows. And so if you have a question, you can also email it to us. eyes@hawaiianeye.com is the email address. Check us out on Facebook at Hawaiian Eye Center. Follow me on Twitter, Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The news that's now on air or online.
Markets around the globe have taken a bumpy ride.
News Radio 830 KHVH Honolulu.